जय जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद
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 जय जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद दिस तो भजन है नो ओके जय जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद
जय
जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद
जय जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद
जय जय गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद जय हरि गोविंद 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 गोविंद
डोंट आस्क मी राग अन्य ओके Now, in your house, when I did Bhaja Govindam for so many months, now Shtilaka knows what meaning I said. That's why she expects, wants me, want others to know the same meaning what she knows. That's what she means. Yeah, Govindaha, go means knowledge. So Vindaha, Govindaha literally means protector of the cows. Gam Vindate, protector of cows, so it means Gopala, protector of the cows. One other meaning is like Shiva, we say Pashupati. Pashupati, another word for Govinda, Gopala. But actual meaning is here, Patihi also means protector. So, how does Bhagavan protect the jiva? The cow, not Pashu means, not cow, Pashu means jiva. So, go also means what? Jiva, jiva rakshakaha, that is the meaning. Protector of the jivas. So, protector of the jivas means, how does Bhagavan protect? Protection is only through knowledge. So, the one whose knowledge Who is not me? One, knowing whom the Lord, the who swarup, one, who, not knowing who swarupam, as one's own swarupam, one can get protected. That's the meaning. Okay? The one who has to be attained through knowledge. The attainment of the Lord is only through knowledge. Therefore, Govindaha means the one who is a source of protection in terms of knowledge. Through knowledge alone, there's a protection. We have to be protected. That's the meaning. Okay. Simply, so many years we have to wait for the Parabdha to work. Even though 8 years ago I came here to Chandipat, and I was an unknown person walking here, and then I've come back here to do the class with few people after many years. And now such a beautiful clean hall, isn't it? For me, the Yashoda is Durga herself. Some people who have been with me from the day one, I mean, very new to this place, like Sheila Ma, Mami, Shakuntala Ma, Yashoda, they're all from people always with me.
Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
So we were seeing the difference between avataraha and janma, birth and descendants. And we saw three main differences. Difference in cause, difference in nature, and difference in purpose. Here, one thing we have to understand, in Puranas they depict, when the Asuras really trouble people, Asuras means wrongdoers, Asuras, Rakshasas. The people who are highly atrocious, who do wrong actions for their own selfish, for their own happiness, their own pleasures, their own security, they harm others' well-being, then especially the people who are harmed happen to be the righteous people. The non-righteous become more powerful than the righteous people. The non-righteous people, the adharmis, as strong people, more powerful people, they harass, and the righteous become the victims of the problems caused by non-righteous, and they seek help. Help in terms of prayer to Bhagavan. And you would have heard, seen in Puranas also, whenever some Asura, Rakshasa comes and he troubles people, and then even the Devas sometimes, all the Devas also sometimes become disturbed, and when they become very restless, agitated and disturbed, and when they seek peace, and they all go and tell the Lord. You know, and then between that they discuss, okay, then they go to Shiva, and Shiva will tell, okay, come, let us all go to Brahma, and Brahma will tell, come, we'll all go to Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu will finally ask, what's the problem? As though he does not know what's the problem. And it's all Puranas, so stories are depicted. Okay, and so and so is there, and he is really, we can't manage him, and he is very, very wrong. And somehow, O Lord, please protect us from his from all his the difficulties we face in life caused by this Asura. The Lord will say, come on, no problem, don't worry, I'll come and take care, go. And the Lord sends them back, and then they'll be, and then we, supposing keeping with the need. Avatara also, which body does Avatara, the Lord, choose? It can be any body. Okay, it can be matsya, kurma, varaha. Now, fish. Now, visa varaha. Turtle, kurma. We have so many we heard about in Puranas. And Nrisimha, when there was a need for, the demon had a very special blessing. He prayed for his death should not happen in the morning or in the night or somewhere in the, not inside the house, not outside the house, like lots of conditions. It may be very difficult to decide to kill that person. And the Lord has then, he shall be killed by an animal, should not be killed by a human being, such a boon he had. So if such a wrong person has to be killed, who had this boon of not being killed by a human being or by an animal or in the morning or night, how to kill him? Then Bhagavan must have some plan. Suddenly should appear, and neither a man nor an animal. So Nrisimha, lion face, human body. Like that we heard Puranas, no? And then he came, and then not somewhere else, put him on his lap, and tear, not with any weapons also. So he saw nails he had to use. Like that we had the stories presenting how in keeping with the need of the hour, in keeping with the difficulty that has to be tackled, in keeping with the problem that has to be sorted out, accordingly, there will be avatara. That also we understand. But all other avataras, we have to remember very well, even though Shastram talks about the avataraha, we cannot understand who is that avataraha. So fine. Is there an avatara purushaha? Now we cannot make out. Suppose you can't say, oh, I see him, this must be avatara purusha. You can't show somebody, point out somebody, and you can't make out who an avatara purusha is. One thing. We can never make out who exactly is an avatara purusha. Even if the avatara purusha says an avatara purusha also, you cannot make out whether the other avatara purusha who claims himself to be avatara is avatara. You cannot disprove, nor can you prove. Therefore, it is a matter for belief. But Shastram says, we accept. But still, same Shastram tells you one thing, avatara purusha will be of no use for us. They can be a source of inspiration for us. You know, if we come to know the great, we can bow to them. But in the sense, for your moksha, for your life to be meaningful, for your life to be successful, for your life to be really complete, you know, really you need only jnanam, jnanam, jnanam. Now all the big, the people when they conduct these conferences, they come out with many things they say. What is the final solution, resolution, isn't it? I tell you, Shastram says, all that you want is knowledge. Knowledge of the truth in terms of knowledge of the self, isn't it? You need self-knowledge. Because your problem is self-ignorance, you need self-knowledge. And which is the knowledge of the truth? Knowledge is the only solution. Knowledge is the only means for your problem. To make your life meaningful and successful. So, you need to study the Shastram with the help of a teacher. Okay? One thing. And then avatara purushaha, you need not believe or you can believe. In a sense, if some people can believe, some people need not believe. May not believe. It is not, we can't compel other person, you should believe in this, that this person is an avatara. No. There is no compulsion. Understand? There's no, it's not compulsory for us to believe. You can believe, you need not believe. It's our personal, purely personal, purely subjective. If you think somebody is avatara, it is your belief, fine. I don't need to disprove it, nor need, do you need to prove it for me also. No, avatara. Well, let us take it. It's purely personal. Understand? So we as human beings, if we come to know or somebody's avatara, respect the person. If you don't believe in that, keep quiet. Let us not hurt other people's feelings. Understand? And one more thing, but you have to remember, for my moksha, I need only jnanam. Avatara Purusha will not help you in any way. Avatara Purusha comes for a given purpose. Always there's a purpose. So we don't need to overvalue or don't need to undervalue, understand, we don't need to have any fancy ideas about avatars. This much you have to remember when you think of avatara, okay? But so you need to surrender yourself to the shastram. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. My knowledge, my moksha, now my freedom is in jnanam, for which I need only nididhyasanam. And for nididhyasanam, I must definitely be doing mananam. For mananam, I must do shravanam first. For shravanam, you know, means I need to be with the shastram coming. Shastram, which means being with the shastra, means always making all possible efforts to understand the subject matter of the shastram with the help of the teacher systematically. Is it clear? This knowledge you should not forget here. That is why whether this avatar is true or not, how to prove, how not to prove, what we can't understand, what it is by saying mayika shariram, what it is bhautika shariram. Okay, all those confusions you need not have. But even though we talk about these threefold differences between janma and avataraha. Therefore, and what is the purpose of the avataraha? We already seen jiva, purpose of the birth of the jiva. We call jiva is born, avatara, Bhagavan is Bhagavan avatarati. Jivaha jayate. Is it? Jiva is born, we say. Avatara descends, we say. Bhagavan descends. So here, what is the purpose? It's going to come. And before that, how does Bhagavan come? Bhagavan descend, is it? That is said in the 6th verse. So how is it possible? We know very well, for the birth to be there, one must have punya and papa. Punya papa means what? Untranslated results of previous knowingly, unknowingly done karmas, actions. So if there's no dharma, adharma, there's no punya papa, then what is, whereas for avatara purusha, there's no punya papa, there's no karma, there's no ajnanam. It is not choiceless birth. It is chosen, isn't it, for a purpose. How is it possible? That is explained here in Krishna himself says, look at this.
Ajopi sannau yayatma bhutanamishwaropi san prakritim swamadhishthaya sambhavamyatma mayaya. Ajopi sannau yayatma bhutanamishwaropi san prakritim swamadhishthaya sambhavamyatma mayaya.
Who am I, Krishna says, when Bhagavan, suppose, imagine, An avatar purusha knows. No? Knows. Knows means what? There is jnanam. There is knowledge. There is no ignorance. Therefore, the Atma Ajaha, isn't it? Ajaha Api, even though there is no birth for the self. There is no birth for consciousness, isn't it? There is no birth. Therefore, Ajaha, unborn. Bhutanam Ishwaraha, even though unborn. Even though birthless, even though there is no such thing called birth for Ishvara, there is no such thing called birth. Bhutanam Ishvaraha Api San, being the Lord of all the beings here, being remaining as the Lord of all the beings, also, even the Lord of all the beings, Ishvara, even though there is no real birth for Ishvara, like Jivas. Swam Prakritim Adhishtaya. Adhishtaya. Using my own power, Maya Shakti. Okay? Using my own Prakritim, Swam Prakritim. This power of Maya, you know, belongs to whom? Is it? Power of Maya is there, but it has no independent existence. But it is, you know, using Swam Prakritim Adhishtaya, using my own power. Sambhavami, Sambhavami, I create myself, I come into existence, assuming a form. Atma Mayaya, my own power, using my own power, with my own Shakti, I assume a body and I come into existence. Which means Ishvara. Na Krishna, don't see Krishna as Krishna here. Krishna talks as Ishvara here. If identity is with the body, mind and complex, then you can say what? Krishna is one among us. Like one of, you know, is one of the human beings like. But here, even though he has a manushya sharira, he has. Isn't it? But still, jnanam is there. Though he can, isn't it? So, using my own atma mayaya, by my own maya shakti, using my own prakriti, no, I sambhavami, no, I come into existence. Assuming a form. And the form in keeping with the need. Which form should I assume? Not only manushya form, it's any form. Sambhavami. That is why I said this is the, okay, which means this is why Mayika Shariram I said. Not Bhautika Shariram, Mayika Shariram. But when you look at an avatar purusha, you can't make out whether it's a Mayika Shariram or Bhautika Shariram. Maya is also Prakriti. Pancha Bhutani are also Prakriti. Anyway, material. Isn't it? Material only. Terry cotton or simple cotton. That itself difficult for us. And where is the question of whether it's... what's the texture here? Isn't it? You can't make out the Mayika Shariram Uta Bhautika Shariram. Elemental product or straight away from Maya, or after certain modifications, cooked, is it? Either it is an elemental product, we can't make out. That is why we have to just, we leave it as it is. We don't give, break our heads to know more than this. So here, but it will become very clear anyway, later on. One more thing you need to understand here. Even the avatara purushas do not serve any purpose for us. You have to remember this. Unless they come as teachers. Of all the avatars, Rama avataraha, Krishna avataraha are seen as, you know, exalted avatars. Why? They both came as teachers. Rama set an example to live by living a life of dharma. he taught dharma. His life itself was a role model for understanding how a husband should be, how a father should be, how a son should be, how a brother should be, how a king should be. And also dharma, to understand dharma, how in all situations he was very, Ramaha means Vigrahavan Dharmaha. If you personify dharma, that is Rama. So Rama is praised. That's why we sing only Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We don't say Hare Kurma, Kurma Kurma, Hare Hare. Hare Matsya, Matsya Matsya, Hare Hare. That does, I'm not saying, okay, I bow to all the avataras. I have great reverence because reverence, respect all the Puranas, all the stories, because they all highlight very, very, very subtle, abstract facts. They reveal beautiful. But why these two avataras are exalted of the avataras? Because especially Krishna is the most exalted of the avataras because he came as a Jagadguru. Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. Krishna taught here. Krishna played a role of a teacher. He taught the Shastram to Arjuna. And through Arjuna, he taught Bhagavad Gita. He gave his Gita to all of us. So Krishna is Jagadguru. Understand? When Avatara Purusha plays a role of a Shastra teacher, plays a role of a guru, then that Avatara is for us useful. Is it clear? It's a very important fact we have to remember. Because Manushya Avatara, in Manushya Avatara, he could speak, he could understand, he could do everything, isn't it? And he could teach. Manushya Avatara. And people come and ask, in Matsya Avatara, didn't he teach anything? In Kurma Avatara? See, we have no time even to study one Avatara Purusha's teaching. If we can understand whole Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, it's a very, very, very big thing, isn't it? We don't need to worry about whether other Avatara Purusha, Avataras also taught or not. Understand? The Avatara Purusha who came in human form, lived like a human being, and who taught us this Gita, the Avatara, who should we revere? We can respect all the avataras, but who should we listen to is Krishna. Because he teaches us the Shastram. What we need is jnanam. For our jnanam, we need a teaching. And for teaching, we need the guru. And Krishna is a guru. So Krishna avatara is the exalted of all the avataras. I am not saying other avataras are not respect, okay? I don't say that. Please understand, I am only highlighting the importance of teaching. Because don't mistake me for a Krishna fanatic, that's what I am saying. Because there is possibility, isn't it? You have to, our focus is on Shastram. Okay. Therefore, this is an important thing I want to tell you now. So what is the purpose of avatara? That is said in the verse number 7 and 8. Look at this.
Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanama dharmasya tadatmanam srujamyaham.
So avatara purusha does not happen whenever we want like that. So when does avatara come into existence? Avatara purusha, isn't it? When does the descending happen on the part of Ishvara? Ishvarasya avataraha kada bhavati? When does Bhagavan descend? Now, for what purpose? Ki kada kimartham? Shankara says in his Bhashyam, he introduces that like that. So, yada yada hi dharmasya glanihi bhavati. Whenever there is universal, universal harmony is disturbed. Universal harmony is disturbed. The universal law and order is disturbed. Whenever there is a decline of dharma, yada yada dharmasya glanihi bhavati, dharmasya glanihi yada bhavati. Whenever dharma declines, what does it mean? The people who follow dharma remain unprotected, and when they suffer, then adharmasya abhyuttanam yada bhavati. So whenever there is rise of dharma, adharma, whenever adharmis, the non-righteous people become more powerful, whenever adharma becomes more powerful, now adharma becomes overpowering, then what happens? Then whenever dharma declines, whenever there is a rise of adharma, decline of dharma, tada abhyuttanam adharmasya, tada atmanam srijami. That is when I create myself. I assume, I come into existence assuming a body. Tada atmanam srijami. I appear only then, assuming a form. Tada atmanam srijami. Aham tada atmanam srijami. Which means, in keeping with the need, in keeping with the necessity, so in keeping with the time, not always. Now for what? Whenever there's the decline of adharma, decline of dharma, rise of the adharma, then I come into existence, assuming a form. But for what? We had the next sentence. Kimartham
paritranaya sadhunam
vinashaya cha dushkritam
dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge.
Yuge yuge sambhavami. Yada yada dharmasya glanihi bhavati, adharmasya abhyuttanam bhavati, tada atmanam srijami, he said first. Now he says, yuge yuge sambhavam. Every yugam, there is avatara. But for what? Sadhunam paritranaya. Sadhuhu sadhavaha. Sadhuhu means a righteous person. The integrated person. The person who is committed to live a life of dharma. Is it? So here a sadhu, an ethical person, isn't it? Sadhu, the sadhu naam, because protection of dharma is only by protecting the people who live a life of dharma. So dharma rakshanam, dharma rakshakanam rakshanena. Who are the people who protect dharma? People who live dharma are the people who protect dharma. So, people who protect dharma have to be protected for the protection of dharma. So, dharmi means one who lives a life of dharma. Dharmi Rakshanam is Dharma Rakshanam. Protection of the righteous person is protection of Dharma. Isn't it? Therefore, Sadhu Nam Paritranaya. Tranam means protection. Paritranam means what? Proper protection of all the right, the people of Dharma. Thereby, for protecting Dharma. Vinashayacha Dushkritam. Dushkrit means wrongdoer. Dushkrit, wrongdoer. So people who are the non-righteous, adharmis, you know, such people have to be destroyed. Isn't it? So the destruction, only through the destruction of the wrongdoers, adharma becomes destroyed. Through the protection of the righteous people, dharma becomes protector. Isn't it? Therefore he says, for protecting dharma by protecting the dharmis, the righteous people, and for destroying the adharma by destroying the wrongdoers, aham every yugam, you know, aham sambhavami. I, thereby what? By protecting dharma through the protection of the righteous people, and by destroying adharma through the destruction of the adharmis, I re-establish what now? Dharma. I bring the disorder in this universal harmony back to the order. Bring the harmony back. Therefore, dharma samsthapanam. Sthapanam means placing. Dharma samsthapanam. Dharma samsthapanarthaya. For the sake of re-establishing the dharma. In the sense what? For maintaining this universal harmony again, like how it used to be. So, dharma samsthapanarthaya yuge yuge sambhavami. Again, I come into existence. So, with this, the eighth verse, the avatara discussion is also over. Discussion on avatara is complete. And also the glorification of Gita itself is complete with the first four verses. The subtopics which are not actually the subject matter of the chapter, but still which are presented here, now those two subtopics are over, complete. Now Krishna continues.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo veti tattvatah.
Evam yo veti tattvatah.
Tyaktva deham punar janma.
Tyaktva deham punar janma.
Naiti mameti sorjuna. Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo veti tattvatah.
Evam yo veti tattvatah.
Tyaktva deham punar janma.
Tyaktva deham punar janma.
Naiti mameti sorjuna.
Naiti mameti sorjuna.
So, Krishna straight away goes now. Again, the importance of knowledge is highlighted from here. This ninth verse, Krishna emphasizes or presents the importance of knowledge. How does he present the importance of knowledge? By saying the benefit of knowledge. How does he say that? Yaha veti tattvatah. Yaha tattvatah veti. one who knows in reality, one who knows the from the standpoint of absolute truth, one who knows from absolute standpoint, yaha veti tattvataha, knows what me janma karma cha, one who understands my birth and also my purpose, karma. One who understands the birth of avatara, one who understands the very purpose of avatara from the standpoint of the truth of Ishvara. Okay, from the standpoint of the truth of the Lord, which means what is another point hinted here? Unless we understand the swarupam of Ishvara, unless we understand the truth of Ishvara, now we have an idea of the very concept of Ishvara, we cannot understand avatara properly. Understand? It's very important to understand the concept of Ishvara, the Lord, first of all. We do not even have an idea what Ishvara means, isn't it? The Lord, the concept of Lord has to become very clear. Once it is understanding the Ishvara means understanding what? The truth of the Lord. Ishvara Swarupam. It's like when you say there is an ocean, the whole ocean is the manifestation of one truth called water. There's nothing exists outside of, in terms of ocean. We say all the waves are part of the whole, the entire ocean. All the waves together constitute one ocean, and this entire ocean full of waves is manifestation of appearance of one truth called water. So from the standpoint of the truth, the water, understand, the whole ocean is actually only manifestation of the truth alone. There's no second, that water is what now? There's no Lord of the ocean other than the water. Even though from the standpoint of water, you can't say water is the Lord of the ocean. You see the ocean, you understand the water being the truth behind the entire ocean. Because there's no such a thing called ocean without the water. When you understand this fact, you see from the standpoint of the ocean, you see the Lord of the ocean being none other than the water. Isn't it? Similarly, here also, with reference to this entire universe also, it is inexplicably vast, incomprehensibly vast, this cosmos also, there is a truth. And we can call it this way, we can say Jagat Satyam or Jagannathaha, Jagat Ishwaraha, we use all this, the truth of the universe is what now? Swarupam of the whole. So we can say the entire ocean is water means, if water is the truth of the ocean, if water is the Lord of the ocean, we can say the entire ocean is manifestation of the Lord, the water. Is it? The entire ocean is manifestation of the Lord of the ocean, the water. Isn't it true? Similarly, with reference to this whole cosmos, there is the truth, and the whole universe is what? Manifestation of that truth, which is the Lord of this universe. The whole universe is nothing but manifestation of the Lord, the truth of the universe. We don't know really what the truth is. We can't even understand actually. But still we can say one thing very clearly. The truth of the whole cosmos, there's no Lord other than the truth of the cosmos. Therefore, the whole universe is what? The manifestation of the truth of the cosmos. But the whole universe is the manifestation of the Lord. We have just some understanding. What is the Lord? If you say, the whole cosmos, the entire universe is the Lord. How do we say? Because the entire universe is the manifestation of the Lord. How we say? Because the truth of the universe is the Lord of the universe. And the entire universe is the manifestation of the truth. We do not know what the truth is, but still we can very well say there is a truth of the universe, and the entire universe is the manifestation of the truth, and there is no Lord other than the truth. Therefore, the Lord, the truth, and universe happens to be the manifestation of the truth. Entire universe is the manifestation of the Lord. Therefore, we can say entire universe is the Lord. Isn't it? Therefore, the concept of Lord has to become very, because we have yet to understand the truth. Become very clear about the truth. For here, one who understands, Krishna says, so we can say the truth of the ocean is water. We can also say Samudra Swarupam. The Swarupam of the entire ocean is also what? Same water. Swarupam. Samudra Swarupam. Then Taranga Swarupam. Swarupam means what? Own form. What is the real form of the wave? Water. Isn't it? Swarupam of the wave is H2O. Swarupam of the ocean also is H2O. Isn't it called Swarupam? For ocean and the wave, Swarupam is one and the same. Isn't it? Therefore, Ishvara Swarupam, similarly here, the Ishvara Swarupa means the whole Jagat is Ishvara. And Ishvara Swarupam is the truth. And Jiva Swarupam also is one and the same truth. And one who understands the Ishvara Swarupam as one's own Swarupam. Hope you're all with me. I'm taking you step by step. After lunch, hope you're all not sleeping. You know, after 1 o'clock, lunch time, Bhagavad Gita class, no ashram, every ashram people will be resting this time. Because we are in London, it's okay. But even here, we feel very cozy with a lot of warm, heating here. So you may fall asleep. Is it clear now? See, one who knows, who is the one who can know the Swarupam of the whole? Who is the one who can know the... You're all with me, no? I'm taking step by step. Who is the one who can know the Swarupam of the whole? The one who knows the Swarupam of one's own self. Because Jiva Swarupam and Ishvara Swarupam is one and the same. Truth of the ocean, the truth of the wave, truth of the ocean, the Swarupam of the ocean, Swarupam of the wave is one and the same. Similarly, Swarupam of the whole cosmos, the Swarupam of one's own self is one and the same truth. He says, Yaha Veti Tattvataha, one who knows my form, my purpose, my avatara, my descending, my birth. Krishna says, okay, my descending, my avatara, and my purpose, etc. My divine, isn't it? Because not born of karma. Therefore, the divine birth and purpose, purpose of the birth and the birth, one who understands from the standpoint of the truth. Okay, from absolute standpoint, one who understands. Such a person knows Ishvara Swarupam, my Swarupam as his own Swarupam. Such a person alone, Deham Tyaktva Punarjanma Na ఏతి. దిస్ ద మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్. దేహం త్యక్త్వా, లీవింగ్ దిస్ బాడీ ఆఫ్టర్ ది డెత్. ఓకే, సో నేను దేహం త్యక్త్వా, లిసన్ టు మీ కేర్ఫుల్లీ, ఇట్స్ గుడ్ విత్ యోక్ యూ అప్. దేహం త్యక్త్వా ఆఫ్టర్ ది ఫాల్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ ఆఫ్టర్ ది డెత్, సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ హు నోస్ ద ట్రూత్, దిస్ ద ఫ్యాక్ట్, వన్ హు అండర్స్టాండ్స్ ఈశ్వర స్వరూపం, నౌ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఆఫ్టర్ ది డెత్ పునర్జన్మ నయేతి, హీ విల్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ రీబర్త్. మెనీ పీపుల్ డోంట్ లైక్ దిస్ ఐడియా, ఇజంట్ ఇట్? బట్ యూ హ్యావ్ బి మెచ్యూర్, దట్స్ ఆల్, డోంట్ వరీ. ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ లైక్ టు, యూనో, యూ వాంట్ టు బి రీబోర్న్ అగైన్, డోంట్ వరీ, భగవాన్ హ్యాస్ మెనీ బాడీస్ లైన్ క్యూయింగ్ అప్ ఫర్ యూ, యుల్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ అగైన్ అగైన్ వన్ డే యూ విల్. If you don't want now, you'll come back. For as long as you want to come, you can come. And there'll be a time you'll say desperately, I don't want anymore. Which means, now when you become very mature, you'll say don't want anymore, and then you can think about it. Okay? If you want to come back, please don't feel bad. You can still listen to the Gita classes and you can use it for some other time. Okay? Anyway, what I want to say here, punarjanma na yeti. That is the most important thing. Punar janma na yeti. He does not attain rebirth. Na yeti, does not attain. What? Punar janma, rebirth. He does not attain rebirth. Who is the one who knows the Ishwara Swarupam? If you know Ishwara Swarupam, if you know the whole Jagat is manifestation of Ishwara, if you know the truth of the whole is Ishwara Swarupam, if you understand the Ishwara Swarupam means you know your own Swarupam. If you know your own Swarupam means what? You know the purpose of avatara, you know, understand the purpose of avatara, even the avatar you can understand, and such a person now will be free from bondage. So Krishna wants to say, Ishwara Swarupa Jnanam is a means of mokshaha. Look at this important lesson here. Ishwara Swarupa Jnanam or Ishwara Jnanam is a means of moksha. When you say knowledge is the means for mokshaha, knowledge of what? Which knowledge liberates you from bondage? It is Ishwara Jnanam. Bhagavad Jnanam, isn't it? Knowledge of Bhagavan, understanding who Bhagavan is, who Ishwara is, what is the truth of the whole, isn't it? Understanding Bhagavan also is will free you from bondage. So here, by way of saying, what does he want to say? A Bhagavad Jnanam, Ishwara Swarupa Jnanam, or Ishwara Jnanam is what? Identical with Atmajnanam. Knowledge of the self and knowledge of the Lord or knowledge of the truth of the whole is one and the same. They're not two different things. In fact, self-knowledge is the knowledge of the Lord. If a self-knowledge alone liberates you, frees you from bondage, therefore, what does it mean here? One who knows the self knows the truth of the whole. Knows Ishwara Swarupam, knows Ishwaraha, understands Ishwaraha Bhagavan. Therefore, Yaha Veti Tattvataha. Okay, Tattvataha. Such a person, Deham Tyaktva Punarjanma Na Yeti. Okay, does not attain rebirth means, he's not born again, means what happens to that person? Mameti saha. Hey Arjuna, he attains me. He attains me means, There is not that Krishna is sitting on big, you know, one place and this person goes and then joins Krishna. Not that way. He attains me means he resolves his individuality in totality, which means he is no more an isolated individual. Listen, he becomes one with Ishvara. Becomes one with Ishvara. Mameti means he becomes one with Ishvara. Again what? Again without merging, without becoming one, he becomes as though he becomes one. No, he understands the non-difference between Ishvara and the Jiva. He understands the non-difference between Jiva Swarupam and Ishvara Swarupam. So cognitively he becomes, understand, as he attains Ishvara means there is no physical attainment here, there is no emotional attainment also. Cognitively he understands the non-difference between individual Swarupam and Samashti Swarupam, Ishvara Swarupam. So understanding the Swarupam of Ishvara and Jiva being one and the same is becoming one with Ishvara. The Swarupam being identical, Swarupam being non-different, understanding this is what? Attaining, becoming one with Ishvara. Is it clear now? So this is an important lesson here. What do you understand? Bhagavat Sakshatkaraha means knowing the truth of the whole as one's own Swarupam. And understanding one's own Swarupam being identical with Ishvara Swarupam, non-different from Ishvara Swarupam, is what attainment of the Lord after the death. Understand? That is what is resolving one's individuality in totality. At least now we are all relieved. Atma Jnanam, Ishvara Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, all one and the same. That is what he wants to say. If you know that, then you can understand how the avatara shariram is mayikam shariram, how there is no, it is not born of karma or ajnanam. It is not for exhausting karma. It is for a given purpose. As a dushtaha, as a wrongdoer, a wicked person, a rakshasa, something, some disorder, something has to be set right, isn't it? Then there is a need for something to be sorted out. Then, you know, when do the police come here on the road? They're all, you know, they're not, nobody was here. The traffic wasn't there. Everything was fine. Nothing, everything was moving properly. Somewhere, some accident or some incident, something happened. There's a big traffic jam. And one car came and hit the other car and there's a big traffic jam. And now we see all 3, 4, 5 police suddenly appeared. Isn't it? Kada. So, yada yada accident bhavati, yada yada traffic bhavati, tada eva police agachati. In the same way, that's what here, isn't it? Similarly, there's a need. Sudden appearance, but that's not a mayikam and all. Just don't miss this, take it seriously. Just I'm saying, only when it's a need. Similarly here also, but shariram is mayikam, not bhautikam. That and all, you can understand this. There's a purpose also, this is the purpose, etc. You can appreciate the significance of it only when you know Ishvara Swarupam. If you know that Ishvara Swarupam, you understand the avatara concept also, significance of avatara, then such a person also will not be reborn, not attain rebirth. He'll become one with Ishvara in terms of knowledge. Understand? Okay, before we go to the 10th verse, the very beautiful verse, 10th verse. When we say Bhagavan Avatarati, Bhagavan descends whenever there is a decline of Dharma, rise of Adharma, you know, Bhagavan right, comes into existence means. And for protecting Dharma through the protection of Dharmis, for destroying adharma, destruction of the wrongdoers, he comes into existence. Means, how can the adharma be destroyed? Adharma destruction is through the destruction of the wrongdoers. Means, the two ways of undoing adharma. By correcting the wrongdoers, also adharma can be destroyed. Isn't it? Correcting the wrongdoers. And which you can do, you can use certain means, certain ways, adopt certain devices and try to correct them, make them see how they are wrong, then you can help them, you can destroy adharma. When they become corrected, now when they give up the wrong actions, then adharma is destroyed. But sometimes you cannot correct them at all. Okay, use many devices. First you tell. You know, sometimes the mothers, no, the children. In India, not here, okay, in India they'll say. Once one child was there, she was left with the child was left with the grandparents. The parents had to go somewhere, the child was left in the grandparents. The grandparents also, the child was very more naughty. But the grandparents are more, you know, accommodative than the parents. And the mother, the grandmother made, first she made some food and gave, eat this. And this is some dosa. South Indian, no? The child said, no, I don't want dosa. I want idli. Okay, she brought idli. No, I don't want idli. I want upma. Okay, she brought upma. Because somehow she wants to manage the child until the parents come back and handle the responsibility. Somehow she wants to make this child eat because grandmother means, I tell you, they will go out of the way to make please the grandchildren. Grandchildren are more, they're more for grandchildren than for their own children. Now the affection is so much. So they do anything. Now the grandchildren also know the weakness of grandparents and then really they show. They take advantage of their weakness and then, no, if you give me what my mother gives, then I'll eat. If you give me what my mother gives, then I'll eat. If you give me what my mother gives, I'll eat. Then the grandmother saw. She couldn't manage. Finally, she gave exactly what the mother used to give. Then, though this is what your mother used to give, I know, which I was not giving you. I gave you everything what your mother wasn't. Like that here also, when you use different devices to correct this wrongdoer, because Bhagavan's avatara purpose is for, not for destroying the adharma, isn't it? For destroying the adharma. But that has to be, the adharma has been destroyed only by destroying the adharma, isn't it? The destruction can be in terms of correction also. So you try your best to correct. When it is not possible to correct, then finish. Then kill. Isn't it? That's why in Ramayana also, Rama gave time for Ravana till the last minute. When he became empty-handed, no weapon, nothing was there with Ravana. And Rama easily, oh, very good. You don't have any weapon with you. Let me finish you off now. Now you are weak. You have no weapon, nothing in your hand. Nobody else is with you. You are all alone, weaponless. Nirayudha panihi, no nirsakals. Okay, nobody is, no other accompanying soldiers are not there. No weapon is here. He was just standing all alone, Ravana. Rama could have easily killed him, but he gave an opportunity. At least he goes back and says, come on, let me not do it. Let me now forgive me for what I have done. Now let me change this minute. You please take Sita back. You know, let me not be wrong person here. After he could have come back and told Rama, last minute, but he didn't change. So Rama said, go today, come tomorrow. In Tamil we say, Indru poi, naalai va. Last minute he gave an opportunity. He knew no possibility of correcting him. He has to be killed. Okay, that's the last. That is how the dharma rakshanam is through adharma nashanam. Adharma Nashanam is through teaching, through correction. And when nothing is possible, then really has to be done in terms of killing. That also, isn't it? That happens. So, with this, so anyway, it's something in between what has must have been told earlier. I just want to say it later, add to it. So ninth verse, Krishna makes it very clear. Atmajnanam, self-knowledge, and knowledge of Ishvara is being one and the same. Therefore, knowledge of Ishvara is also liberating knowledge. There is no such a thing called knowledge of Ishvara without the knowledge of the self. That is also made very clear. Then we'll go to the next.
Vitarag bhaya krodha.
Vitarag bhaya krodha.
Manmaya, manmaya, mamupashrita.
Mamupashrita.
Bhagavo jnana tapasa.
Bhagavo jnana tapasa.
Puta. Puta madbhava magata vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashrita bhagavo jnana tapasa Puta mat bhava magata.
Puta mat bhava magata.
So, this the means of attainment of moksha is not something newly available. It has been there for ever, always. He says, Bahavaha jnana tapasa putaha madbhavam agataha. Madbhavam agataha means there are many, many, many people. Bahavaha, not one or two, many people. Madbhavam agataha. They have attained my status. Mivata, they become one with me. They have reached me, they have attained me, they have attained my status, they have become one with me in terms of knowledge. Listen, they have attained the Ishvara status also, which means becoming one with Ishvara. It means they have discovered their Swarupam being identical with Ishvara's Swarupam. They discovered the Swarupam being non-different from Ishvara's Swarupam. Thereby they have become one with Ishvara. Madbhavam agataha. But how did they attain that knowledge? He says, Pūtaha. Now, being pure. When do they, being pure, Pūtaha means becoming pure, being pure. See, in knowledge, you become absolutely pure. In knowledge alone, you become absolutely pure. What does it mean? You are always purity yourself. You can never become pure. You are already pure. You ever nitya putaha. Isn't it? Nitya putaha you are. You are ever pure. The ever pure can never become pure, isn't it? But still now, as though you are impure, and as though you become pure. So how in jnanam, you taking ownership of the self being ever pure, already being purity itself, isn't it? Is what actually becoming pure, putaha. How do they become here? Again, jnana tapasa putaha, jnana tapas. Here, jnanameva tapas. What is the special penance? What is the special austerity they follow for this, for attaining absolute purity? In terms of taking ownership of the purity which is already there. What is the penance? Nothing. There is no penance, no austerity other than knowledge. Jnanameva tapas. Understand? Jnanameva tapaha. Only through the attainment of knowledge. That is the only, there's no greater penance than knowledge. There's no greater austerity than knowledge. There's no greater bhakti than knowledge. There's no greater worship than knowledge. You're going to see that later on. The beautiful chapter is going to present so many factors, make it very, very clear. The whole fourth chapter, I wish we can complete it. We will. We'll try 2 days. Tomorrow we won't be late anyway. We'll try best to be early. You know, so how, you know, so this here, there's nothing more superior, greater, more exalted than knowledge. There's no greater worship, greater prayer, greater ritual, greater tapas, greater austerity, greater penance than knowledge. Knowledge is the most exalted of all disciplines, isn't it? Because knowledge is the all the disciplines. Everything that we practice and follow should culminate in this knowledge. So, jnana tapas. What jnanam here? Knowledge of one's own sorupam. Now, which will result in understanding the sorup, the one's own sorupam being identical with Ishvara sorupam. That knowledge, in that vision, in that knowledge, one understands one's sorupam being ever pure. Non-refinable, non-pollutable, ever pure. Now, this understanding is what? Understanding this fact is becoming pure. So, jnana tapasa putaha madbhavam agataha. Okay? So, only through jnanam you can attain the Ishvara bhava. In ajnanam, you are manushya. If you do not follow dharma, you are animal in human form. If you follow dharma, you are in human, you are human being. And if you know the truth, you are Ishvara. Understand? So Ishvara bhava, madbhavam agataha means they attain Ishvara bhava, Ishvara status, they become one with Ishvara. They are Ishvara themselves who, when they become absolutely pure. How do they become absolutely pure? Not by scrubbing the dirt here, but discovering their swarupam being non-pollutable, non-refinable, ever pure reality, which is the truth of the whole Ishvara. So, jnana tapasa putaha, madbhavam agataha bhagavaha. So for moksha, becoming one with Ishvara implies moksha. And moksha implies what? Moksha presupposes knowledge, the purity. Purity presupposes the knowledge of the truth as one's own sorupam. That knowledge presupposes what? Look at the order now. He says, for jnanam, what did they want? Vita raga bhayak krodaha. Vita raga bhayak krodaha. Vita means vigata, the one from whom all these things have gone away. Ragaha, attachment. Krodaha, anger. Bhayam, fear. Those who are no more, those who are relatively free from raga bhayak krodha. Those who manage intelligently their emotions in terms of fear, anger, desire, attachment. So, now we can understand what, you don't need to feel guilty about having attachment, having passion, having desire, having fear, or having anger. Isn't it? They're all very natural. But they have to. So having them naturally is what? be becoming as though becoming impure. You are not impure, really speaking. Having them, naturally having, you are not, that you want to have them, you did not ask for them, and they are there. So naturally being endowed with these emotions, and thereby helplessly being identified with those emotions, is what? As though becoming impure. So that now impure means, then if you are managing them means, then you are relatively pure. You can't undo them, you can manage them. So initially manage, so managing the emotions help you to be relatively pure, and jnanam, without requiring to manage, you will be absolutely free from the hold of, freeing oneself absolutely from the hold of these emotions, impurities, is what? Actually becoming pure. In jnanam, you can free yourself from the hold of emotions. Until jnanam, you have to manage. So, vitaraga bayakrodaha. How can you become vitaraga bayakrodaha? You know, for you to be able to manage your emotions in terms of attachment, fear, anger, etc., you have to be what? Mam upashritaha. What should you do for that? Upashrayaha. You have to surrender yourself to Bhagavan. Upa-ashritaha. Upa-ashritaha. Shritaha means surrender, isn't it? Ashritaha. One who has surrendered, one who has taken refuge in Bhagavan. Upa-ashritaha means what now? Not any other refuge. Okay, I also take Bhagavan as one refuge. And I also take one more refuge. No, no. Taking Bhagavan as the only refuge. So surrendering oneself to Bhagavan. Upashritaha. If you surrender yourself to Bhagavan, then you can manage your emotions. If you do not surrender yourself to Bhagavan, there is no way of managing your emotions. No, no, without Bhagavan's help I can manage, if you say, then you don't need Bhagavan's help, no? Then you try. But here we say, only by surrendering oneself to Bhagavan, one can manage one's emotions in terms of anger, desire, passion, etc. So managing them helps one relatively, helps one to become relatively pure. A relatively pure person can attain jnanam, will be qualified for jnanam, can attain jnanam. By attaining jnanam, then one can discover one's own sarupam being, no? Absolutely pure. And thereby one can discover one's own sarupam being identical with Bhagavan, which is becoming one with Bhagavan, which is mokshaha. So, mam upashritaha. It's called upashrayaha. Surrendering oneself to Bhagavan again. This also I discussed many times in my previous classes. Surrendering oneself to Bhagavan implies what? Bringing Bhagavan into one's life. Bringing Bhagavan into one's life means what? We are going to see that later on. This verse is going to be elaborately discussed later on. We'll see that. You know, living a life of karma yoga. Surrendering oneself to Bhagavan means surrendering one's will to Bhagavan, surrendering one's will to dharma. This relative surrender, and later in jnanam, there is absolute surrender. There is no way of surrendering oneself to Bhagavan without having understood one's own sarupam being identical with Bhagavan. Knowledge is absolute surrender. Okay, simply by saying, I have surrendered myself to Bhagavan, I have surrendered myself to Bhagavan. If you go on telling everybody, you are really not surrendering. You have not surrendered yourself to Bhagavan. Real surrender, absolute surrender is when you say there is no, all that is only Bhagavan, in that vision, there is absolute surrender. Until that jnanam, when you surrender your will to Bhagavan, when you surrender your will to dharma, when you live, commit yourself to live a life of dharma, when you commit yourself to live a life of karma yoga, when you live dharma, when you live a life of karma yoga, then you have surrendered your will to dharma, Bhagavan in the form of dharma, that is relative surrender. Okay, it is that surrender will help one become relatively pure. Okay, this only way you can manage your thoughts. You understand karma yoga in different ways, isn't it? Vita raga bhaya krodaha ke mam upashritaha. Those who are surrendered to me. Understood? And for you to surrender yourself to Bhagavan, what is very important? Bhagavan should become your ultimate, become the priority. Bhagavan should become your project, which means that may become the absolute end. Mom, look at that other word, manmayaha. Manmayaha, all the time, you do not forget your goal. Manmayaha means what now? Ishwaramayaha. All the time you never forget. You are always focused. Being focused about your end being discovery of the truth of Ishwara as one's own sarupam. I want jnanam. No, I am living this life for jnanam. All the time reminding yourself of your end and the commitment, total commitment to the pursuit of that knowledge. Isn't it? Whatever you are doing, you are focused. You never forget, what am I living this life for? That is there. And this is called manmayaha. While eating, you think of. Eating, you do. Drinking, you do. Walking, you do. Now, you attend cocktail parties. You go anywhere. Whatever you do not forget. What do you, all the time, manmayaha, being focused. And then, Bhagavan. Which means, you ask children when they go and watch cricket, no? They're in such a hurry to watch cricket. Cricket, whenever there's a live, telecast of this cricket matches, some children are so obsessed. In fact, the Bhagavan obsession is called manmayaha. No? It's like mad. You can call it madness or obsession, isn't it? So they watch television means, and suppose the mother will call, come and eat and go, come and eat. Because he feels bad, because this fellow eats 10 dosas, and every time bringing the dosa from the kitchen to this, it takes very long. I'm talking about South Indian children, okay? we can say rotis also, you can say. The same thing you can do in North India, that's a different thing. And then the other two, he has to walk up and down. Or the servant maid has to walk up and down. So how many times, isn't it? Not like this country, children are very, they go and do their own work. So there, they has to bring. So she will be calling, and he won't even hear. He won't even know. Cricket. Eating time, cricket. Dosa time, cricket. Like sleeping time also, cricket. Whatever he does, he cannot fight, because he is obsessed with the cricket, isn't it? It's sometimes obsession. Obsessed with the music. Obsessed with something. We get obsessed. We have certain madness, certain degree of madness. All of us are mad, isn't it? We get obsessed with certain things. And here, these people, Bhagavan says, nothing wrong, you can be obsessed. If you become obsessed with Bhagavan, thank God you're protected. Other obsession, isn't it, will not protect you, will drive you mad. But here, you will not become mad. Bhagavan obsession will free you from bondage. Isn't it? Therefore, manmayaha means with all the time that craving for knowledge of the truth. Craving. Adi tat kathanam, tat smaranam, tat chintanam, all the time being with that is called manmayaha. So such people who, for whom knowledge is everything. Knowledge somehow, that does not mean they're not doing other things. Whatever they do, they'll be doing what they have to do, but in doing everything that they need to do, their obsession would be with Bhagavan, knowledge. Such people are manmayaha. Okay? Manmayaha. No? Cricket mayaha. If you enter into the room, sometimes, no? The pictures are all cricket players. Sometimes, no? Some people also, or you can see all CDs and latest, no? Music means what? Wherever you go, the CDs will get scattered in the house. So, Sangeeta mayam or cricket mayam. That mayam, this mayam, food mayam. Look at our kitchen today. like that, no? Food mayam, we have to say here, all the time thinking of something, isn't it? What you're focusing on. That is, this is called Bhagavad Mayaha, means what? Krishna says Man Mayaha. So those who are totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, whatever they're doing, still their commitment is knowledge is their priority. Bhagavan is the priority, the project. Such people alone, they surrender to Bhagavan. In terms of surrendering their will to Bhagavan, dharma, they surrender their will to Bhagavan, which means they live a life of dharma governed karma yoga. Thereby they become relatively pure, managing their raga, krodha, vita raga bhaya krodaha. Their emotions, thereby they become prepared for knowledge, and later on they become purified. How? By their penance of knowledge. Understand? They always supposed to be purified, isn't it? And by offering themselves to Bhagavan, they become purified. Offering means what? In terms of knowledge. Through the attainment of knowledge, madbhavam agataha, they become one with me. Is it clear? It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? Just read the verse and you can go for tea.
Vita raga bhaya krodha.
Vita raga bhaya krodha.
Manmaya mamupashritaha. Bhagavo jnana tapasa.
Bhagavo jnana tapasa.
Puta.
Puta.
Madbhava magata.
Madbhava magata.
Okay. So we'll see the next verse after a small break. Anyway, you have to remember, you to get yourself purified, you need not do anything else. Surrender your will to Bhagavan, surrender your will to dharma, live a life of dharma, karma yoga, then be committed to the knowledge. Knowledge alone will help you discover your purity. Okay? So we'll see after break.